Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's your favorite time of the week. We're coming to you on a Friday afternoon as you're getting ready for some drive time. This is the Crazy Sheet Podcast. I'm Mark and I'm here in the studio. Scotty's absolutely at home. We got one game left for FBS and tomorrow we got the FCS Natty if you want to watch it. How the hell are you, Scotty?
Man, I'm good. Was going to try to go to that game. And unfortunately, tickets are bananas.
I saw it sold out.
And they're crazy expensive.
That's nuts.
I mean, crazy. I mean, secondhand market's out of control. So I'm kind of a little disappointed that that I couldn't get tickets. But, you know, hey, man, it is what it is. It's, you know, it's an 11 a.m. D2 game. Can we go back to calling them 1AA?
It's so hard for me. I don't know what the letters mean.
Because technically, the FBS is technically a championship. Now,
yeah, I don't know.
We had a four-game playoff. Doesn't that count as a playoff?
Who knows?
I don't know, man. You know,
Montana State, North Dakota State, 11 o'clock Saturday morning Central Time. If you ever get a chance to go, it's a great venue. They play at the soccer stadium. We were there a few years ago for the James Madison, North Dakota State Natty. Good crowds are there. The people from Fargo come in groves to this game. I mean, there will be, you watch, there'll be 20,000 people at this game tomorrow, and I guarantee you 15,000 of them are going to be from North Dakota State. They're all driving down. They are some of the nicest people you'll ever meet. And they are some of the biggest motherfuckers you're ever going to stand next to. Big heads, big hands. I mean, I know why the Vikings ruled the earth after hanging out with North Dakota State fans one night.
Yeah, you know, it's tomorrow's supposed to be warm, significantly warmer than it's been, but it's supposed to rain.
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting. Montana State, most people don't realize this, head coach is a graduate of North Dakota State. Was there with Bowl for their first three national championships.
Huh,
was an offensive coordinator. Then went to Bowl with Bowl to Oregon's now at Montana State. So this is actually a pretty cool little story. And it'll be interesting with them having never lost in Frisco in this game, because they've lost leading up to it, but they've never lost here. If they lose here and it's to a guy who's an alum, would be quite interesting. It takes another North Dakota State guy to finally break them down here. That would be to me a pretty cool story. Plus a guy who graduated from there and a guy who was involved in originally building of this program as they transitioned from D2 to 1AA, as I would still like to call it. So anyway, that'll be some fun games. I don't think it happens. I think North Dakota State covers and wins. They got lucky to beat Sam. So I think North Dakota State gets a job done, but you know, hey, we'll see how it goes. Never know. Weather may affect it.
North Dakota State, they're pretty good favorites in this one. 9.5. 9.5,
yeah.
Open 9.5 down to 7.5. So if you want some action in this one, this is the number 1 and 2 defenses in the country. Both of these offenses have kind of stalled out. North Dakota State had a great game against JMU a couple weeks ago. But the Montana State, they're the 8 seed coming into the playoffs, and their offense has kind of sputtered a bit. Over under here, grab your nutsack if you want some. Get you some 42. That is a low, low total. So I might get involved in the first half, a little first half over under. If I can find me a 21.5, I will play the first half under on this particular, especially if we're getting some rain and some wind up there in Frisco.
I like that. I like it.
All that being
said,
go ahead.
Let's get the boys in Bama, baby. Let's get to Bama and Georgia. Get where it's at and recap slightly the championship games.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. Well, let me ask you first off, are you excited about this game? Because I was with two people, that when these two teams won, were bummed. They were like, this is a game nobody wants to see, nobody wants to watch, nobody wants to see the replay. I completely disagree.
Two best teams in college football. You don't like college football if you don't.
By far the two best teams.
They're both SEC teams.
Which I know, and I love the fact that the SEC to me is like China. They have fooled all the shitty schools into just rooting SEC, and they think that they're all as good as Bama. When in reality, they're just rooting for the comp. Like the Aggies, they love telling you how good the SEC is now. And I'm like, come on, man. How do you like that 8-4? Do you like that 8-4? You like that $1 million a win you're paying for?
Now, I can only speak for the original group of SEC teams.
Tulane? You talking about Tulane?
Because there was always such a chip on our shoulders in the league. About, and that's true for the Bamas and even the big, even those guys. They have been, you know, everybody loads a bunch of rednecks, you know, just, you know, you're not as good. Everybody looks down on you, you know, and that's where the SEC love originates. And people don't understand it. You can still hate the other guy, but be glad that your conference does well. You know, so that was a, you know, that was a little bit, that's where it comes from. And I think most people don't understand that. That's from decades ago. You know, getting to this game, I think it's going to be a great game. It's the two best teams. I don't even have you question if it's the two best teams. The problem I think you're really going to have is there are going to be some years if we go to a 12-team playoff. Where's the SEC in the Big Ten?
I think
you're going to have two or three SEC teams. You're going to have two or three Big Ten teams. I really think that's how it's going to shake out the bulk of years. Because I just think those leagues are better. And I understand that Michigan got manhandled. I think the moment was bigger than Michigan. I will also say I had bet on Michigan. And because I thought that was too much. And just they looked good enough against Ohio State that I thought, man, they're going to be able to stay within 8 points.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree.
And I was full. I was full. They got physically dominated. And let me be the first to tell you, if you are an NFL guy, and you draft the defensive end number one in the draft, you're an idiot and you ought to get fired. You are not the best player in college football when you get dumped on the back of your head more than once when you're pass rushing. Because the guy physically dominates you that's across the line of scrimmage from you. That man, wasn't nobody helping Mario Williams and guys like that on the back of their heads. Don't nobody take Jeffrey Simmons and dump him on the back of his head or Fletcher Cobb. That don't happen. Those dudes dominate people. You know, nobody's taking Montez Sweat and bulldogging him. You know, that didn't happen. You know, and man, I saw it on multiple occasions that they just dominated those guys physically. One time he's rushing and the Georgia guard's like giving way and he realizes I'm just bigger and stronger than this guy. It literally just takes him and just bulldogs him. Just he's in the midst of pass rushing and gets put on his backside. Man, there ain't no way I'm drafting that dude first. He may turn out to be great. You know, I'm not an NFL. Man, I sell furniture for a living. But my ass ain't taking him. I tell you that. I don't watch dudes get bulldogged and think, yeah, that's the guy I'm going to stake my job on.
I sell furniture for a living.
But it was a marked, and you could see it, Mark, on the Georgia with that Georgia. They were just physical. They didn't look, their dudes yes. didn't look like Michigan's dudes.
I 100% agree with you. I can remember being at a Texas Tech Oklahoma game years ago when Mike Leach was there, and OU was rolling. I think it may have been the year after they won the Natty back with Stoops around 2000 or something. But anyway. When OU came onto the field, it looked like someone had just released a herd of wild horses. I mean, all the skill position guys looked just fast, sleek, strong. You know, the interior linemen come out. All of them look like they're just there to you can build a house on these guys. And Tech looked like the land of misfit toys. I mean, you had a fat, short guy, tall, skinny guy. I mean, and they were good. They had a really good team. But to your point, when the game started, the physicality of Oklahoma just overwhelmed Texas Tech, and that was in this game. I agree with you. I thought Michigan, after watching them play Ohio State, and physically being able to move the ball against the defensive front of Ohio State and be in that game. And really, and they've played well all season. Physically, I thought Michigan could match up. I knew we had lost that bet midway through the first quarter because just physically watching Georgia, you know, offensive and defense, when George Pickens pancakes the corner, you know, it just – right there. And I was like, dude, this guy, he's flat-footed. He's getting his ass knocked off by a guy who hadn't even played all season. You know, he hadn't been in the line. You know, it's like they have no answer at that point. And so I agree with you. And the only team I have seen that can physically match up with Alabama, we're going to see it Monday night. You know, we've seen him play earlier this year, and Georgia laid an egg. And the question I walked away with from that is Stenson Bennett good enough to win the Natty? Is he good enough to beat Bama? And I think it's going to be interesting as this game unfolds is what kind of game plan are they going to put in place? I think Bama not having Minchie in this game is going to be a much bigger deal than Bama not having Minchie against Cincinnati. Because Saban could have lined up and what did he rush for, 300 and some odd yards against Cincinnati? And
yes.
He could have – they could have scored a double nickel on those guys if they wanted to. And you,
they didn't even have to throw the ball. I mean, literally didn't have to throw.
Well, and not only that, defensively, Bama bottled up Ritter. They had a chance. Cincinnati had a chance in that first drive to go down and make some big plays. When they ran the slant route, I forget the kid's Scott, I think his name anyway, and that thing got knocked down at the line of scrimmage. Then they came back with the double slant and – they couldn't get, he just missed him and couldn't get anybody open. But the Bama defensive line, I thought, did a phenomenal job of keeping Ritter in the pocket, bottling him up, and then getting their hands up and knocking the ball down. They didn't let him improvise into, you know, something that was going to be outside the pocket in a 13-yard gain, or he gets outside the pocket and a receiver, you know, the coverage breaks and you're able to hit a big shot downfield. And that was exactly what I thought. You gave Nick Saban a month to get ready to match up against a team that physically had no business being on the field. Great story for Cincinnati. I it would have been awesome if had they won, had they been able to pull it off. How much money, though, on a totally different note, I mean, do you think Luke Fickell, because the season was so good, he cost himself $100 million, don't you think, in getting a big job?
No question he cost himself. And more importantly, cost himself – Mark, we had three of the best five to eight jobs in America open.
Right.
And he got none of them. Oh. Hell, more than that, I forgot about Notre Dame. Four.
Yeah. And so
and he got none of them. And he's the hottest coach in camp. We have assistants getting jobs, getting big time jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane. And that guy totally got screwed because he was loyal. I mean, I feel bad for the guy. I really do. Now, look, you know, he's going to get other opportunities as soon as something opens because it's not. I don't think his program's going away. I think they're, you know, I think they're going to continue to win 9-10 games in this league, and he's going to continue to be a hot coaching candidate. But you think there's any chance if he's available that Notre Dame takes him? If Notre Dame that they take Freeman instead of him, I don't think there's any chance. I think they for sure hire Fickell.
I would.
And I think Freeman's the Cincinnati coach. And I think that's candidly how I thought it might work out. And man, they went right to Freeman. You think Oklahoma really goes and hires a defense coordinator that they kind of parted ways with? I mean, they weren't all wound up when he left to go to Clemson. And now he's back as the head coach. I just don't know that, you know, I don't know that Oklahoma doesn't hire him too. And, you know, so at the end of the day, I feel bad for the guy. But, you know, kudos to him. In a world where everybody bails and does what's best for him to be loyal and stick with those kids and do it, I hope he gets paid next year or in 2 years whenever they're not in this situation because the guy deserves it. And kudos to him for doing it because he could have bailed rip-corded because I think deep down he knew we got no damn chance in this game. And, you know, he's looking at the film. And that really was the bottom line. They're physically better. And what I wasn't expecting was Georgia to be that much physically better than the best team in the Big Ten. And everybody's wanting to know how this gets fixed, how it doesn't, you know, what people've got to do. Man, I don't know what you're going to do to change geography because the best athletes in the world are from Texas to North Carolina.
That's about right. Well,
they all are.
And I don't know that
and that's where all the defensive linemen are.
Yeah.
And are the vast majority. And, man, there's just dude after dude, and that's where all these teams are winning.
Yeah.
And and you go look at some of the great schools, even Ohio State, they're coming down to get some of those athletes, you know? So I don't know what you do to change geography, You know, it's I pouring so much money in. You know, it's not about money, NILs. I do think the transfer portal is changing the game in a horrible way. I think the game is nothing more. Now it's turning into just free agency every year. And, you know, I don't know. Boy, it'd be hard to manage a program right now. I'll say it like that. And yet, you know, the one school that doesn't have anybody in the transfer portal as of yet?
Who's that?
The Georgia Bulldogs.
Well, Texas Tech
They don't have 19 guys in there.
Yeah, Texas Tech didn't until after the bowl game, which I thought was kind of weird and interesting. But
And I think Georgia will after this natty.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's some dudes sticking around to get a ring. I'd stick around to get a ring too.
Yeah.
But, you know, even if I was going to bail. But my point being, how do they not have 15 guys bailing? You know, and this, it's interesting what he's selling and what Saban are selling and what Ryan Day's selling at Ohio State. Those guys are selling, we're going to get you to the league even if you bide your time. How valuable is Robinson for Bama right now? Being able to say, look at how little tread wears on my tires.
Yeah.
Look how many few carries I've got coming to the NFL.
And,
you know, it's total opposite of Bijan Robinson.
Yeah, that's true. And that kid's got years to go before he gets an opportunity to get out there.
It's exactly right. And that kid's a stud.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Total stud. But you compare him and you compare Brian Robinson. Two great running backs, and you got a dude who's only carried the football for basically a year and is a great player. And, just look at Najee Harris, how great he is. Hell, if he's half as good as Harris, he's going to be a productive NFL back.
Now, I would agree.
I mean, it is what they're selling. Well, and so it's going to be interesting to see how they continue carrying their program on, because it feels like those are the only programs – that aren't just being ravaged, that what they're selling gets guys to the NFL, and they get guys staying what feels like even a little longer than everybody else, and that's only going to make the gap wider if they're able to actually develop the great players that they're already signing instead of them just hopping and leaving and doing all those things. So college football's in a what I think is a tough spot right now.
I agree with you, and I think, you know, and I know we've got a lot of fans out west. I love the chime-ins we get from the Pacific Northwest out there, but the Pac-12 is a clown show. I mean, I am a gigantic Pac-12 fan. Love the conference, love the football, everything about it. I can't get the Pac-12 network. They show up for bowl games and they shit the bed. You've got, I mean, Utah played in the Rose Bowl. Did I bet Utah to win the Pac-12? You bet your ass I did. But Utah won the Pac-12. Give me a break, man. I mean, it's like, there is so much that, you know, and it's going to be interesting the next several years. Did you see that? We were talking about it before. Quarterback at OU plays the bowl. I mean, look at how weird this is. Quarterback at Florida played the bowl game while he's in the portal, which I didn't know you could do. But it's like, hey, I'm going to be in the portal, but I'm also going to keep playing. So y'all just watch me if you want to do that. So he's in the portal and plays. You know, Caleb Williams at OU comes in the portal after the game's over, and Charlie Batch comes out and says, I got $1 million in an NIL deal if you want to come to Eastern Michigan. I mean, just putting it out there now. I mean, who you don't even need a bag man anymore. You can just, hey, let me have a presser. All right, I got $2.5 million. We need 5 offensive linemen. Let's see what you got. And so it's going to be interesting anyway. We could talk about this for hours. Maybe we'll come back after the natty. Let's get to the game and figure out how
to Before we get to the game real quick, you talked about Utah, and this is the only game I want to talk about. They would have won that ball game if the quarterback doesn't get hurt.
Yeah, I agree.
And second, and look, Ohio State was not full speed. Not saying that. Understand they're missing two great players, really more than that. Because 4 great players, because the defensive guys too. But it was still a great game. But if you're anybody, how disappointed are you if you're Utah? You're a couple of gag fests early in the season because you couldn't figure out who your quarterback was and what was going on. Honestly, because the transfer portal hurt you, didn't help you, because you couldn't figure it out. You're that far from being what was probably a playoff team this year. They go 12-1 after. And beat Oregon twice, just what they did after Oregon beat Ohio State the way they did on the road, and they make.
Yeah, I agree.
They make the Final Four. I believe that. I think Cincinnati would have been on the outside looking in again. So the Pac-12, you said, is a mess. They're a total mess. But, man, if there's any fan base that let it slip through their fingers more, it's those guys.
Utah.
You know?
Oh, and I think they're going to be good next year. But anyway, that's on to this. So here's how we're going to do this real quick. There's one game left. I'm going to roll through. I'm going to bet it. You can talk about how you want to bet it. We can pick it apart. We'll go from there. Full disclosure, I have a 10-1 ticket on Georgia to win the Natty that I bet back in June. So I will be pulling for the dogs. I haven't decided if I will hedge this out yet. I went back and I watched the Georgia-Alabama game. I actually went back and watched the last two times Georgia and Alabama played in its entirety. And here is how I think I'm going to play this. Number one, I am probably going to play Georgia on the money line to bet this game. Because the spread itself, you know, now we're looking at 2.5. If it 2.5 to 3, I don't know, man. You're laying points against an Alabama team. Even when Alabama gets beat, they don't get beat that bad. I would play with Georgia, and I'll probably sprinkle if I do that. But where I'm going to play this game, I'm going to go over the total of 52. Every game they have played, the last four times they played has gone over the total. And I'm also going to go over the total in the first half. I think both of these teams are going to come out hot. And I may play some Georgia first half minus half a point in that situation. I think Georgia's going to come out having played Bama before and gotten embarrassed. I mean, they were up 10-0. And then when Bama scored in the second quarter in that last one, it's almost like you could just, in Atlanta, you could almost just feel all the Georgia fans going, uh-oh, what just happened? And I really think in this game here, they're going to come out with a better game plan. I think the players, and they looked a little shell-shocked in that one. I think they're going to come into this one with their head on straight. I like the over in this game's probably my favorite bet. I think there's going to be a lot of points, and they're going to come out hot. That's my opinion.
Well, I don't disagree with that at all. First, let me go back to your 10-1 bet. You have to bet the Bama money line to hedge that because you've only got to bet half of what you're going to win to get – because you're plus 125 on the Bama money line.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think you got to hedge it because you only have to risk half with a chance to make three-quarters of it back. So, I mean, I think you got to do it. I mean, that's just the deal. You don't have to risk nearly as much to win some back. I mean, you know, let's say it's just on a, you know, base, you got $100, you're going to win 1,000, you know, you bet 500, yeah, ain't going to win more than that. You know, I mean, it comes out 60, you know, you come out at 625. So I think that's a pretty good way. Just, you know, personal opinion, you have a good night regardless.
Yeah.
But as far as the game goes, I'm the same way as you. I'm going to bet the Georgia money line. Georgia's got to close this deal. I retweeted something for those of you that follow me on Twitter. 71% of the minutes in their last four games, Georgia has been tied or had the lead against Alabama. Now, my response was to that tweet, that is the Alabama I've grown up watching. I can't tell you how many times I've watched Alabama in my lifetime get rolled up for three quarters, and then fourth quarter come out and win the game. I can't tell you. Hell, I watched it as a student at Mississippi State. It is a different deal. I mean, they just get it done. They figure out how to get it done. And, you know, but I think the numbers are on Georgia's side here. They're the only team in the country that's as talented as Alabama. And I think Georgia's going to have some of the red ass. I think they came in a little cocky in that game. And I think the flip side is they're going to go all gas, no brakes.
Oh, I think
all I got. Now, to give you the flip side, and there's part of me that agrees with this. I saw a tweet from Booger McFarland that said he's watched Stetson Bennett play this Alabama defense twice, and he is not the answer to that puzzle. And having watched the exact same thing he's watched, you think, man, can this guy get it done? But at the end of the day, Georgia's got a lot of talent around him. And I think they are going to – he's going to win or lose that game because I don't think they're going to throttle it back. They tried to be conservative last time, and they got gas canned.
Yeah.
There ain't going to be no conservative this time. I think they're going to go out. I do think that lends to the over because I think Bama's going to – you get Georgia deep. You can beat them deep. And I think Alabama's going to do that a couple of times. But you know what? I think Georgia can too. Because that Alabama secondary is not quite as good as it's been either. So you know, I think this does have a chance to go over, but I'm going to take Georgia in the money line. I still think Georgia may be the best team in the country. I can't believe I didn't gamble on them 2 weeks ago. I just feel like a complete and utter moron not doing that last week, but lesson learned. I'll never do that again in the semifinals.
So we're both agreeing the fact that we think Georgia is going to win the national championship. I like the over in the first half. I like the over for the game. I'm going to be playing both of those and go from there. And I'm excited. I think it's going to be a great game. I am really interested, though, to see in the event that Stenson Bennett lays kind of an egg, if they don't pull the Alabama stunt from the last time these two teams played for the Natty, and we see JT Daniels roll out at halftime.
Is he even still on the team?
I have no idea where he is. I have no idea where he is.
Signaling in plays or, you know, with a headset on or something. I don't even know if he's there.
I mean, the guy's just disappeared. I remember watching the Arkansas game. I forget where I was. Anyway, watching the Arkansas-Georgia game, some bar. I was in New Orleans. I was in Baton Rouge. And I get a note from somebody that follows on Twitter, and they're like, pound the under in this game. JT Daniels is out. They're going to run the ball, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what's wrong with him? There, I had something wrong with his finger. And it went from a finger injury to something with his ribs and his back. And now I don't even know where he is. And he can't – I don't think he can transfer again without losing a year of eligibility because he's already done it. So it'll be interesting. And what a great story. Stenson Bennett wins the Natty as a walk-on that they didn't want, that he's back, and he's not going to play in the NFL. I mean, just be a fantastic story. He'll never buy a beer, and he'll never have to buy a beer again in the state of Georgia.
No doubt about it. Bennett is such a great story because he's there, and he leaves. He's at JUCO, and they're like, hey, man, come on. We need you back. We're bullpen. We need you here. Oh, we brought in an SC transfer. We're going to bench you now that he's healthy. Oh, he's not doing what he's supposed to do. Let's go back to the walk-on who's grown up a Georgia Bulldog fan his whole life. This is a great story. Well, now, whether he's good enough to get it done, we'll find out. But he's certainly got plenty of talent around him. The wide receiver coming back for Georgia is a big deal because that is what has been missing from this team, is not really being able to stretch the field and open up the field. They got guys, and nothing against McConkey. I mean, he's a good player. That guy shouldn't be your lead guy.
He can't blow the top off a defense.
He can't blow the top off a defense. He blows the top off a defense. Then McConkey's got all this room in the middle. And then you got Bowles tight end. That guy's just – I mean, that guy's just a freak. I mean, that guy's a beast. And, they're starting to get some weapons too. And obviously they can run the football. So – it's going to be, a great game. The last time these guys played for a Natty, it was a phenomenal game. The last time they played in the SEC Championship before a month ago, that was a great game. You know, it got down to the last second. Georgia had the lead pretty much the whole game in that. So, I mean, these have been a couple of great games. I think we're going to get a humdinger of a football game, and I can't wait to watch it.
All that being said, folks, we'll both be watching the game. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, always we'd be there. We try to answer as many questions as we can. We'll be watching tomorrow's game. We may or may not come back with some final recaps for the season, looking out into next year. Obviously, as we get into the summertime, we'll be right back at it again when you get the futures market that opens up and go from there. Oh, Scotty. It's been a good long run this year, and we're finally at the end of it. I'm excited, but I'm a little sad at the same time.
I am too. It's definitely sad. I think what we've got to start mixing in is a transfer portal update.
I can't keep
because
up with
there's 1,000 kids. I think it's 1,100 kids in the portal right now.
Something like
and
that.
And it's basically 10 players a team is what it gets down to. There's going to be a lot of kids without a chair at the end of the year.
It's so interesting.
I mean, there's going there's going to be some kids that don't have a play. If you're Deion Sanders, you have got to be licking your chops to get some of these dudes. I mean, because at the end of the day, man, all you need to win at that level is just more talent than the other guy.
Oh, yeah. I would agree.
You know, and that's a lot of what he's done to this point. So, anyway, going to be interesting.
Yeah, the kid from here in the Woodlands, finally, I'm surprised it took him this long, pulled from Cal and is committed to go to Oklahoma. And I again, I've met the kid a couple of times. He's a junior in high school, and I'm 47 years old, so it's not like I hang out with them. But I found it interesting. I ran into somebody that was talking to him, and he said that he wished he'd have held out a couple of more days because he got a better offer from Auburn. And I thought that was the most interesting language I've ever heard because, you know, used to, if you got an offer, you just, you know, that was the best it got, right? It's like, I got a scholarship. Did you get a double scholarship? What does that mean? You know, it's like, so, but I think you're going to hear a lot of that. And I'm going to, you know, maybe we can find some stuff out. We've got some connections, but that's one of the things I'm going to dig into after the season's over is I want to talk to somebody who is involved in high school recruiting that looks at it from a sense to say, what are these kids seeing now? Literally, are coaches coming in and saying, hey, we want to make you an offer. And then that's followed up by the NIL guy that's like, okay, Scott, here's what we're thinking. We're going to do a $50,000 commit fee. We need you to do a commercial for Juicy Fruit, you know, or something like that. I mean, I'm wondering if that's really how it's starting to work. And we've got some connections that we can ask and maybe even get them on the show that can enlighten us a little bit on how this is all starting to work now. Because it's always been a shit show, but now that it's just all out there and people are releasing it and letting people know how much money they're willing to spend, I think it's going to be even crazier for the next couple of years.
Now it's a legal shit show. Absolutely. I mean, it's just, that's all it is. Now, I thought Jimbo Fisher said it best at the early signing period.
Yeah.
There's always been NIL deals. They just used to not be legal.
Right.
You know, and at the end of the day, that's fact. I mean, that is the deal. And, you know, but here's the thing. Those NIL deals, you look at the guys who got the most money this year, the Spencer Rattlers and Bryce Young's a different deal. But a lot of those guys just simply didn't pan out.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean they're not going to spend the money.
It doesn't mean they're not going to spend the money. And it's going to be fascinating to see where this goes. I've said all along, if you are the guy who is giving one of these 18-year-old nitwits money, you're a dumbass. You're just a moron. I felt like that forever. If you're buying them cars, you're an idiot. And there is no chance that I would do that. No chance. Having said that, there is I'll give you a prime example, Mississippi State. Charles Cross is probably going to be a top five draft pick at left tackle. You know, I think schools missed the boat on that guy. They had an opportunity to get that guy for what would probably have been $5,000-$10,000 in August. All he had to do was have a good year. Those are risk reward. I think businesses are going to start looking at, hey, what if this guy does pan out? You know, what if this guy really is a first round pick? What kind of value can we get? What kind of, you know, because at the end of the day, a first round left tackle's got a chance to play in the NFL for 10 or 12 years and be one of the highest paid guys at his position and truly be a face of your business, and you could get that first contract for nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, for nothing.
I agree.
And for pennies on the dollar for what it would cost once he's a successful NFL guy. So those are the things that are going to be fascinating is who's savvy in this and get some dollars out of it, you know, get some worth out of it. And then you got the guys that are just going to be out trying to buy players and things like that. But who are the business guys that are savvy and really try to get – because there's going to be people out there. There's going to be guys that get huge deals. And if they pan out, great. You know, it may be shoe deals. It may be – we don't know. And in college basketball, I mean, I can't imagine what's going on. You want to know why Kentucky's back recruiting great? Yeah, because Nike can write a check now and it isn't illegal. You know, they used to have that money. You know, so I mean, what is Jordan and Nike and even Adidas? I mean, and those guys, they're going to pick guys that they want to get and they're going to send them to a school. And shoe money's gigantic. And so it is where we're at right now is fascinating. I think I told you this early in the season. I talked to a former athlete. I just don't think it's going to be that big of a deal, you know, blah, blah. And I'm like, man, I hope you're right, but I don't know about that. You know, this deal's a free-for-all.
Yeah.
And you better have an entire department, A, figuring out how to get them money, and B, how to manage what's going on so that you don't get hung, you know, by the NCAA or whatever else. So the NIL deal is just fascinating. I mean, it is going to be fascinating to me.
Yep. If anybody listening to wrap it up, if anybody out there has a connection with British Knights that wants to sponsor my Baylor Bears, just shoot me a text. We'll get it all. I mean, I can get the Baylor Bears winning a natty with some BKs on. All that being said, folks, have a good weekend. Enjoy the game. We appreciate all the shares. Give us some reviews. Good, bad, and different. We love the comments, and we'll talk to you soon. It's been a great season. Let's keep plowing.